It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Actor David Conrad has appeared in theater, movies, and television. His film roles include his portrayal of a Navy lieutenant alongside Robert De Niro and Cuba Gooding Jr. in the movie Men of Honor, and an appearance in the comedy Wedding Crashers with Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson. On television, he played Jennifer Love Hewitt's paramedic husband on the CBS series Ghost Whisperer. However, the Pittsburgh native's latest project has returned him to his alma mater, the Kiske School, as an artist in residence. He's directing the school's production of the play Gold Star Ohio. The play opens Sunday, December 7th, with a second performance for the student body on Tuesday, December 9th. And he joins us now in Studio A. David Conrad, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. It's good to be here.
The story of how you ended up taking on this project begins about a year ago when you were playing Ian Quinn in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and you turned down an offer for a second season on the show and moved back to the Pittsburgh area. So what was going on in your life that led you to make that decision?
I think it's really labor, actually. They didn't pay me enough. Nice people, but I just felt like I was getting offered a contract that I would have been offered when I was 25. And there's ways people negotiate things for individual episodes rather than paying you for an arc of episodes that you know you're going to work, but they don't tell you. And I'd been through it before, and I was playing the same character. And, you know, it's a silly thing to complain about. It's nice to have a job as an actor, but at a certain point, you have to look at yourself and say, do you want to continue to be that guy again and again and again? And I also was a little tired of being in L.A., so I don't know. I just wanted to reset, come back home. I always feel like I can think more clearly when I'm here. And, you know, I have no great pronouncements about what I want to do or what I don't. But, you know, I always thought I haven't seen a fall in western Pennsylvania. I haven't stayed here for the whole holiday season in 20 years. So I thought, what the heck, let's do that.
Yeah, you were in L.A. for 10 years. You were in New York for 10 years.
Yeah.
So you moved back to Pittsburgh, and that it wasn't necessarily for what you're doing now. It was just to be back here.
Yeah, and the guy who runs the Kiske School said to me, hey, you know, why don't you direct a play? Come up and be our sort of visiting artist for fall. And I thought, great, you know. And he let me pick the play, and he gave me a lot of leeway to spend time with the kids in the day or in the afternoon. I mean, I went there, and they know me, so and I visit the school a lot anyhow. So, yeah, it's been an interesting experience.
Yeah, you're a proud Kiske School graduate. You're very devoted to the school. Explain what coming to Kiske on a scholarship as a sophomore transfer from Woodland Hills meant to you in terms of the difference it made in your life.
Yeah, I think it changed me completely. I mean, I was just a kid, and Woodland Hills was just starting. So, you know, trying to organize a school like that's a difficult thing. It wasn't doing too well, and I wasn't doing too well personally. And, you know, Kiske really –
What was going on with you?
You know, just afraid of living, afraid of choosing, afraid of growing, afraid of making mistakes in front of kids my age. And the school gave me the chance to do that and realize that I wouldn't die if I, you know, failed in front of somebody. And also surrounded me with – made me learn how to work, made me accountable. I'm not saying it's for everybody, and I think, you know – public schools are great things. I just happened to have been taken in hand and given the chance to do that. And my feeling was going back to the school was to see if there were other kids going through that same thing and what could I do. And also just to put the arts in people's lives in ways that aren't assignment-based, that aren't quantified, more sort of quality relationship with some sort of an art form. That was my interest in being around high school students.
And so how's it been being back at your old school?
It's terrifying because you really do start to see what you were like. And I guess it must be for parents. It's a simple thing. They look at their kids, put them through this. You look at your own child and you're like, oh, my gosh, that's me, right? I did those things, which teaches you empathy. But I think it also teaches you, wow, I was such a jerk. but, no, it makes me realize, you know, it's a hard road. To be that age, it's tough to grow when you're a teenager, and it's also kind of made me love them. You know, to watch the times when they really stretch out, when they try, when things change, when they go from being incredibly frustrating kids in front of their cell phones to literally singing. And you know, there have been a couple times during the rehearsals where I wanted to blink back tears because I was just moved by what they were doing, what they were trying. It's been great. You know, I got it's eight guys from Salzburg. I mean, eight guys from Kiski, and there's four women, young ladies from Salzburg High. So I've always been interested in the private school that I went to, working together with the small town that it's situated in, rather than being this sort of elite institution on a hill. I feel like all private schools should do that, CMU, places like that, Shadyside Academy. And so it's been great. It's been great to have the four girls come up and work with the kids, the boys, and they get along really well. They work together well. There's a lot of respect. There's a lot of honesty. It's great. They did it. It was seamless, which was nice.
Had you directed before? Did you have any experience in it?
I directed a little workshop at Juilliard. I directed some stuff. I directed a couple plays at Brown. I directed
And you went to Brown. You studied history there. And then when you made this commitment to acting, you went to Juilliard.
I went to Juilliard, yeah. The only thing I've really, really directed – I've directed a couple documentaries. But the only play I've really directed was some friends of mine and I did a production of Burn This in Pittsburgh about 5 years ago. And that was my major foray in directing.
So this is still a relatively new – trade for you.
Yeah, I would say I'm not directing these kids. What I was interested in was getting young people in the arts to practice in the arts in the way that maybe older people do, or to take it seriously. So I guess I'm just directing a rehearsal. I don't want to so much direct a play. I didn't want them to do a thing that people would stand there and go, oh, that's a great production of Oklahoma, or that's a fabulous production of Noises Off. I wanted kids to be in a room for 2 hours, 3 or 4 days a week, and know what it is to practice an art form, whether they're painting, drawing, making sculptures, playing music, and in my case, acting. There'll be a play at the end of that process, but I wanted them to think about what it's like to rehearse, how to use their voices and their bodies and their minds to specifically approach what it is to do theater and to take it seriously for 2 hours and to laugh and to see how many different ways you can do that. I didn't want to sit down and say, hey, we're a bunch of professionals or anything doing a play. We are going to do a play, and all their work is based around this play. But I just felt like we don't give kids the opportunity to work in ways that are authentic. You know, we kind of set up things that they have to do, and then they sort of imitate us to do that. And I don't know. I just want to do something different.
It's Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is actor and Pittsburgh native David Conrad, who is directing the Kiski Schools production of the play Gold Star Ohio. Let's talk about the play. Gold Star Ohio was written by a close friend of yours named Michael Tisdale. Explain what the story's about.
It's amazing. Michael's father died in the same week. 22 Marines from a section of Ohio, a small section of Ohio around a town called Dresden, were killed in the same two-week period, which is this completely strange anomaly. It's actually referenced in the movie Lone Survivor, the one that Mark Wahlberg plays the Navy SEAL that survives. Mike was so blown away by this that he just drove to these towns and just walked in and started asking families to talk to him. Completely crazy thing to do. I mean, I'm sure he got his door slammed in his face a bunch of times. The long and the short is he spent 4 years, and now it's been longer, living, hanging out, listening to, recording, and getting to know these families, specifically four or five of them, plus their police chief, plus a couple other people. And he recorded everything that they told him, and then he sort of cut down the recordings into what you'd call a play, but it's really all their words. And it's arranged that these four separate families tell a similar story of this was my son, this is what he was like, this is how he got involved in the military, this is how we'd communicate with him when he was there, this is how we heard about how he died, and then his body was brought home and how we've dealt with it since. It's incredibly powerful, and it's really – parts of it are heartrending. It's also very funny and lovely and amusing, and these are small-town people. These are – Dresden has 800 people in it. Which is about the same size as Salzburg. And my opinion was I wanted kids to listen to what it was like for people to go through losing a child in the combat we've had in the last, you know, almost 20 years now. And also to realize that a small town like Salzburg or like Dresden goes through – has similar experiences. And And also as actors, I wanted them to think about that it's storytelling we're interested in and that these stories can come from any town. They can come from New York City, Chicago. You know, they can be famous stories or they can be stories from a small town like Dresden or Pittsburgh or Salzburg. And that you, a child, a kid, can do the same. You've been told stories by your family. Just wanted to pair that up. But yeah, the play, my friend Michael wrote it and or collated it from all his interviews. And this is a crazy story. One of the girls in the play, her name's Kat Long, Katrina Long, and she plays a woman named Edie DeYarman. Now, Edie has a massive part in the play. While Kat was doing the play, she realized that she knew a DeYarman from Blairsville. So she called that person. It turns out that person is the cousin of the actual Edie DeYarman. Kat, wow, being the girl that she is, gets on the phone and calls Edie. And they have a two-hour conversation about the play and her life. And when she told me this, I just thought, you know, everything I'm doing right now is worth it, you know. The commute, hanging out, the time, the frustration, the wondering what the hell I'm doing. I sat there and I thought, this has all been worth it. Absolutely.
And I have to say, sitting across from you now, I mean, you look tired. I mean, you look like it. Directing is a very demand, and I know technically you're saying you're not directing these kids, but you're working with them, and it's a very passionate endeavor. And it looks like you've really thrown yourself into this.
I'll just say that I have it easy. I mean, I think about real teachers that work in schools full time. I think about the other teachers at the Kiske School who work there 24 hours because they're always available to the kids. I personally cannot imagine the amount of effort it goes into to do that. I mean, I work with these kids 2 or 3 hours a day for 4 days. I think the only thing that maybe wears at me is I think about it all the time because I'm trying to figure out how are there different ways that I can get to them to get them through a door that we don't even know where that door is in the room. I mean, acting's kind of like that, is you're in a room without doors. It also doesn't have walls. So you have to make the walls, but then you have to feel like – you have to figure out how do you get through things that you have no idea how to get through. Sometimes that takes force and energy. Other times it takes subtlety and calm. And I've got to figure out a way to communicate, okay, this is a direction you can go. It's fun, but it wears me out.
And as you mentioned earlier, this is a huge departure from the comedies that the Kiske students have staged in recent years. And you know, the typical high school stage fare is Oklahoma, Music Man, Bye Bye Birdie, things of that nature. Yeah. So how are these students handling a play that is as intensely emotional as this?
Let me say up front that I love musicals, but my interest was not in again, I didn't want to do just a play. I think the kids have handled it amazingly. I think when you approach kids, I think when you take them seriously and when you if you don't condescend to them, if you speak to them from the heart, they'll speak back to you. Sure, there are going to be times where it's frustrating, but I think they've approached this with the kind of respect it deserves. I think they look at this and go, yeah, I get it. I think they think of the voices of these people as real. And I think when they listen to the parts where it gets super heavy, you know, they calm down. It's quiet.
With these themes of loss, of war, and military tragedy, was there any concern on your part that the play might be too intense for high school students, for young men and women of this age?
You know, all I remember from being a high school, or the thing I remember being a high school student the most is how serious I felt like I could handle things, how deep my feelings were, how I wanted to write a poem, to be in a poem, to be in love, to experience the intensity of that. And I think high school kids experience that stuff on a meter that maybe we forget, actually, that we don't have anymore. I mean, that's the whole point of Romeo and Juliet, is they feel it and the older people don't. That's why we all cry when we watch the play, because it's lost love, right? I think these kids, they got it right on. The only worry was there's some swearing in the play. There's some actual real swearing. And I went up to the administration and they were like, well, and I said, yeah, but look, there's no swearing to criticize somebody. There's no swearing that's vulgar for the sake of vulgarity. There's swearing to express, I lost my brother. I lost my son. And once I think I made that clear, and then they saw the play and read it. They've read the play. They were fine with it. I talked to all the parents. I said the same thing. I said they talk about drinking, they swear, and every parent was like, "Okay, I can handle that." So
Well, is there any doubt that these students are using these words in their day-to-day lives?
Really? Yeah. Get over it.
What's been the biggest challenge working with students, these high school age students?
I think the biggest challenge is truly figuring out language that will move them. I can speak in a way that I think is smart. I can speak in a way that I think sums things up or pushes them, but maybe I'm wrong in terms of the phrasing I use doesn't make them react in a way they understand. That's, I think, to me is the hardest thing for me. I mean, I can say, cell phone, multi-gaming, overscheduled, ADD generation's hard to get to, in the first 10 minutes.
You told them you were going to turn off your cell phones. You've divested them of all of their electronics, which would be, understandably a normal protocol. But at the same time, was there any kind of, I can't disconnect from these things?
No, I actually think it's a relief for them. I think it's like playtime. It's a chance to jump in the swimming pool and swim around. And this is the swimming pool of theater. And they get to laugh and goof off. And we work as a group. I put them through these exercises that are sometimes hysterical, goofy. I make them pretend they're trees sometimes, or breathe for 10 minutes on the ground, or march around to exhaust them, and sing songs and scream. And I think that kind of brings them together. So I don't think they, as soon as they're done, they pick them up and start checking their notes. But I think the urge to do something that matters and to express yourself lasts through any generation. And that works pretty quick. I get there. They get there.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My guest is actor and Pittsburgh native David Conrad, who is directing the Kiske School's production of the play Gold Star Ohio. David, what lessons does this play teach us about the military experience and the trials facing our soldiers abroad and at home?
I think the major lesson is that most of the people who serve in the military believe strongly in what they're doing. I think maybe they're not quite sure about the positioning of the government that pushed them there. I think it's quite clear that a majority of people who serve in the military come from working class backgrounds, come from small towns, and they're the ones who bear the brunt of that kind of work and that danger and that loss. And I think we should be hyper, hyper aware of the fact that when we start pushing folks into those situations, there's a price to pay. There's a horrible price to pay. I think what I wanted to do was have kids take this seriously, to look at these questions and not just to lean back and say, Semper Fi, yeah, we support the troops, but to get an image of this is truly what war is about loss, about duty, about honor, about coming to terms with that, about putting language around it, about the immensity of something that you maybe can't justify and then figure out how to justify it. To look at that face to face and hear the voices of the people who've actually been through it, rather than have it filtered through some sort of fictive narrative, which is fine. But I wanted them to actually read the words of the people who stared it in the eye. The word "gold star" is from the flag that any family gets. If you've lost a child in the war, you hang it in the window. It's only mentioned once, literally in the play, and they bring it out. And for me, it's the fact that Michael called it Gold Star, Ohio. There is no Gold Star, Ohio, but there is everywhere.
And does this play have even more impact for you and particularly for your teenaged students, because they're at a point in their lives where conceivably they may be making a decision at some point in the not-too-distant future about joining the military and possibly ending up in a theater of war somewhere?
Yeah, there's two sides to this for me, is that a lot of times most kids who go to a private school are not going to serve in the military. That's always been true. It's been true since Vietnam. And I want them to realize that they're lucky in some ways, or that other people are doing this for them. At the same time, Kiske's had a long tradition of sending kids to the Navy and to the military, but mostly to the Naval Academy. And to realize, okay, you're going to lead these people. You're going to be a part of this. You better take it seriously now. But also respect the folks that live just beyond you. You're going to the school, but half a mile away are these small farming towns. Western Pennsylvania has consistently sent more people to the armed forces than any other part of the country since forever. And that's a long tradition in this part of the world. this part of America. And I wanted the kids at the school to realize that's where you're from. You know, that's there's a reason why our Soldiers and Sailors Hall is the biggest in the country. There's a reason why the Pennsylvania Monument at Gettysburg is the biggest by far. There's a reason why there have been more Medal of Honor winners from Pennsylvania than anywhere. So, you know, see that.
After living in Los Angeles for 10 years and New York, you come back to Pittsburgh and you're conveying your passion about theater, which really has an energy all its own. Do you prefer it to film and television?
I could say yeah, but I mean, look what I've done, mostly television. I do prefer being out there, but I early on was making a living in a different framework and I'd get pulled back and forth. I tried to do a play a year, which I did for 17 years. And yeah, I do love it. But, you know, there's really frustrating aspects of how theater's done here. It's as commercial as TV. There's not enough time rehearsing. They treat actors like crap. They pay them garbage money. Even the big nonprofit theaters in New York pay people a poverty wage, which is unforgivable. You know, they talk about living wages and raising the minimum wage. If you seriously want to create an artistic community in New York City, the three biggest subscription houses, which have subscriber limits of like 50 to 70 to 100,000 people, they should be paying their actors more than $400 and $500 a week. That's ridiculous. So that kind of thing makes me just shake my head.
We're down to about 20, 30 seconds here. What are the projects out there that might draw you back in front of the camera?
In front of the camera, I don't know. They're going to – they might shoot the TV show Banshee here next year. And a good friend of mine's in that. I'd love to, you know, jump in. But mostly not. I think I'm more interested in how Pittsburgh runs and trying to work in certain Pittsburgh communities. And I don't know. I love this town. I just want to be in it.
My guest has been actor and Pittsburgh native David Conrad, who is directing the Kiske School's production of the play Gold Star, Ohio. It opens Sunday, December 7th, and then there will be a second performance for the student body on Tuesday, December 9th. David Conrad, it's been a pleasure meeting you and talking with you. Thank you so much for joining me on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks a lot.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. If you missed any portion of the program, you can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Happy Veterans Day.